We have reached what for me is perhaps the most introspective time of the year. We are basically 51 weeks done with the year 2025. We have less than 1 week left, less than 2% of the year remaining to be experienced, however it is that you will experience this time. For many, this last week is really a time of hecticness and rest and reflection. What did this past year bring to me? How'd it go? How do I want next year to go? For some, I know that this is the absolute most insane time as you try to get things wrapped up and meet your quotas or whatever it is that had to be done in 2025. It may be the craziness of packing up a moving van, but there are things that are making this time really crazy for some people. But the reality is, we all know that the year 2025 is coming to a close. And that brings with it the year 2026. Now, one of the regular habits that I have, my daily devotional time with the Lord, is rooted in a practice of reading through the Bible every year. And so I have a reading plan that I start on January 1st. I wrap up on December 31st. And what that means is, come New Year's Day, I am cracking open my Bible and reading in the beginning. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 1. And similarly, when I get to December 31st, I'm reading the book of Malachi, but I'm also reading Revelation chapter 22. And so from beginning to end, but the interesting thing is, at the end is the beginning. And that's a cycle that I want us to contemplate today as we contemplate God's words, because the reality is, for all of us, the old must pass away. That's my first of 4 points. I know that good Baptist preachers are supposed to be talking in threes. I'm giving you 4 points. But I want you to think about these verses that I read today and think about these for 4 points. And the very first point is, the old must pass away. Subpoint. You can't stop it. There's absolutely nothing that you can do. The Lord can stop it. He can come on down in the next couple of days and say, 2025, that's it. But barring his coming again, none of us can delay the passage of time. Doesn't matter how badly we want to, it's going to come. You may say, but 2025 was such a great year. I don't ever want it to end. Congratulations. I'm glad you had a great year. It's going to end. The clock's going to keep ticking. The pages on the calendar are going to keep flipping. And there's going to come a time you can stay up and you can try to avoid the clock going from 11:59 and 59 seconds to 12 at the arrival of Thursday morning, signifying New Year's Day has come. But it's going to come. We're approaching the end of the year, and the same thing can be said about the coming Day of Judgment. There is nothing that we can do to forestall it. We don't know when it's happening, but it will happen. We are a day closer to it happening today than we were yesterday. And no desire of preparedness. No, you can be ill-prepared, you can be fully prepared. It doesn't matter. That day, too, is going to come. That day of judgment, the great white throne of judgment that we read about in these chapters. It's coming. Now, the reality is, this is part of a pattern that God has already established. The old giving way to the new. We know that because we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jeremiah 31, the prophet wrote this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and inscribe it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. It is God's pattern to take that which is old and replace it with that which is new. But in doing that, realize that the old has no place in the new. And this is something that's really important for us to understand as we look at these verses and what he's going to do. Isaiah 43 writes this, "Do not call to mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. Behold, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Paul would write about it too. In Romans chapter 7, he writes this, "But now, having died to what has bound us, we've been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." The old has no place in the new, and indeed from our readings for today, we see that the old, heavens and earth, have fled from God's presence. There is no longer any place for him. And we need to recognize that in our lives, the things that we have been chasing after all of our lives have no place in the new either. There's nothing here, no material gain, no possession that you can take with you. And I've heard it said that even if you were to load up all of your worldly treasures into bars of gold and try to take it with you, when you get to heaven, somebody's going to say, "Why on earth did you bring pavement with you?" The things that we treasure here are simply building materials, or worse, in God's heavenly kingdom. The old has no place for the new. The second major point I want to bring forth is that no one is exempt from this progression from that which is old to that which is new. Again, you cannot hold back the sands of time. You cannot prevent God's day of judgment, and all shall be judged. And it doesn't matter how much you want to stay in your past. It doesn't matter how much you want to live in the glory days. Like I said, 2025 might be the greatest year that you've ever experienced, but you can't stay in it. And when God comes in judgment, you can't say, "No, I think I'll go back and hang out in the world," because that world is going away. We have no choice. No one is exempt from what is to come, and so we must live in that. And in verse 13 of our verses for today, it says, "The sea gave up the dead and that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. None shall be spared on that day of judgment. All will be held to account for that great white throne of judgment." I suspect, although it's not specifically stated, but just based upon biblical principles, that even Enoch and Elijah, who were spared a physical death and carried straight up to God, will still have had their deeds written in that book that records all, and will have to come before the throne. There is no avoiding it. All who have ever lived will be called to account. There's one little other point that I want you to take from this, though, and that is that God, in bringing us all before him, is reuniting body with soul. He's pulling up from the depths of the seas bodies that have been crushed by the great depths. He's bringing back together bodies that have been cremated. Whether that was the result of a purposeful burial plan, or if it was the result of some catastrophic fire or explosion. We don't need to get caught up on the proper burial method, because we worship a God who created the universe out of nothing. No matter what happens to our physical bodies, he has the ability to bring them back together for this moment of judgment. So don't get caught up in that. This is a critical point, point number three. Even though the old must pass away and give way to the new, what you've done in the old will in many ways determine what the new holds for you. And, you know, for so many of us, especially as we look with our human eyes towards the coming of a new year, we want to be thinking in terms of, well, when we turn that page, it's a fresh start. That whatever happened to us the past year, we're starting all over again and we can just get at it. But we, even in our most hopeful moments, know that that's really not the case. You know, when we start out with New Year's resolutions, what are resolutions? Well, in many cases, they're a pledge to break from the bad habits that got us to the point of needing to make that resolution. Our behaviors in the past will affect how we address that which is new, and we can't get around it. Here's the problem with that, too. We all recognize that there are things that we'd like to change, things that must change, but simply wanting them to change won't ever do it. There has to be action. You will not get in shape by reading magazines about getting into shape. You have to change your diet. You have to change your exercise plan. You have to change your habits. Similarly, you will not draw closer to God by saying, boy, I'd really like to draw closer to God. You have to read God's word and spend time in it. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to devote that time, which you did not devote in years past, towards walking humbly with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, simply thinking, boy, wouldn't it be nice, won't get it done either. Because what God desires of you is not a relationship on your terms, but a relationship on his. And his terms are unconditional surrender. You come to the cross with nothing to offer him. Don't think that you've got something he wants. Come and just lay it all out. You've got to do something different. And if you don't do these things while you can, the old will determine where you go in the new. Which leads me to my fourth point. What's to come may very well be infinitely better. It may also very well be infinitely worse. And I say that because even though we are hoping that 2026 is filled with joy and wonder and a vast improvement over 2025, I don't know anybody that has said, boy, 2025 was so great, I don't want it to be as good in 2026. We are all hopeful that what is to come will be so much better. But that's not a promise that we have in Scripture, that wanting things to get better will be better, because the reality is all of our experiences that are here on earth, whether they be phenomenal or crushingly depressing, are temporary. This material world is temporary. All of our successes are temporary. And therefore, what we experience eternally will magnify it tremendously. Revelation 20, verse 10, just before I started reading for our verses for today, says this, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Lasting. Eternal. And that's the destiny for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. A future that is infinitely worse than anything that you're experiencing today. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because there are these other verses, and I know I just read them, but I'm going to read them again because they are worth hearing again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." A future that is infinitely better than anything that you have ever experienced in this world, no matter how glorious your life has been. An eternal future in God's house, in God's presence, is what awaits. Now, I want you to understand that all of the things in this world are passing away. In the eyes of God, they are former things that must pass away. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are slave or free, whether you are about to die of malnutrition or obesity has beset you, whether you are used to being the order taker or the order giver, all of that must pass away. Everything here is temporary. Your greatest triumphs that you wish to relive forever will pass away. Your greatest tragedies that you never want to remember will pass away. None of those things get carried forward into what is new. But understand this as well. All the good things that you want to do, that orphanage that you want to support, is going to pass away. This new physique that you have in your resolutions that you plan on sculpting through discipline and hard work, that will fail and pass away. Perhaps there's a degree you have your eyes on as you approach heaven's gate. Nobody's asking to see your resume. All of these things will pass away. There's only one thing that matters, and whether or not your name appears in the Lamb's book of life. The only thing that matters. The things that we tend to place in our New Year's resolutions are good. I don't want to discourage you from seeking to be a better steward of your funds or to bless those with your abundance or to seek to take better care of the temple that is your body. Those are all good things. They're worthy of being on a New Year's resolution list. And frankly, if you haven't been taking good care of them, well, you should have them on your list of things to do. But don't ever mistake that with thinking that those should be the number one thing on your list. It was Jesus himself who proclaimed in Matthew 6:33, he said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." The old will pass away. The things that you have done in the old will have no bearing on the new, except for that one thing: seeking God first. Do it with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Seek after him. Everything else will fall into place. And even if your life were to end the very first day of 2026, if you have set your heart on doing that, You cannot even begin to imagine the glories of what shall be added unto you when you are welcomed into God's heavenly kingdom. That which is old must give way to the new. It is God's plan. It is God's cycle. It is God's promise. Let's set our eyes on doing those things that will endure and carry forth. Let's do the things now in the old that we can to ensure that when the new comes, we'll be basking in the presence of God and in His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray.